you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 1. We're not going to get there for a little while. We're starting a new series this morning, and I want to talk to you for however long this goes on. I won't even guess. About faith, and you know, it's one of the most foundational parts of our Christianity. Faith is, I mean, it's one of those subjects that is so foundational that I think some people don't pay very much attention to it. Some people probably pay too much attention to it. But I want to, there's a lot of confusion in the Christian circles, in the Christian world, about what faith is. There are a lot of people who claim faith, and no doubt they have some faith. But, you know, I called this let faith, or should probably be let your faith, take the wheel. And or maybe like take the rudder, you know, whatever you like. Let it steer. Let your faith actually guide you. Let your faith actually move you. Let your faith actually decide in your life where you're going and where you're not going. And there are just a lot of people who they have faith. But it's a very private thing, or it's a very generic kind of thing. Oh, I have my faith, you know, and I'm not criticizing any of that. I'm just saying that's not really what faith is. And we need to be people of faith, people who are actually allowing our trust in God and in His Word to guide even the most basic decisions of our lives, and certainly the big decisions, certainly the things of where we live, who we marry, what, you know, how we raise our kids, how we, you know, all of those types of things, what our household is like, what our business is like, how we act at work, all that stuff needs to be guided by faith in Christ. And by faith in what He has said. And that's one, you know, basic definition of faith, is it is a heart-level confidence that God is who He says He is. First of all, that God is, that God exists. And then that He's who He says He is in His Word, and who He demonstrated that He is through Jesus. And then that He will do what He said He will do. And that's where, you know, that's where we get hung up some of the time. But when we look at the Scripture, and again, I'll just sidebar here, especially for some of you that are newer. When I start a series, I just kind of blather the first week and just throw out a lot. And there will be good stuff in it. But anyway, this is what I need to do. Then we start getting a little more systematic. But when we look at the Scripture, and I love this about the Scripture, we see all kinds of people. We see people of great faith, people of small faith, people of no faith. We see all kinds of people throughout history. And one of the interesting things to me is we can look back thousands of years at people, and our technology has changed, but the person hasn't changed. I was going to say the animal hasn't changed. That's not quite right. But, you know, people are people are people. But we see all these different kinds of people, but the people whose faith was pointed to and noted in the Scripture, which I assume is who you want to be, those people are people who allowed their faith to motivate them to take a risk, to step into something, in many cases, that absolutely could not happen unless God did what He said He was going to do. I mean, it just absolutely couldn't happen. In other cases, the thing, well, like this thing could have happened by human effort, but it didn't. It happened because God intervened and God worked, and it came out better than anything that, you know, human beings could have thought of. it's people that stepped into something in some place that they couldn't control. And I think that's one of the big issues about faith, is if we're really going to walk by faith, we don't have to be flaky. We don't have to be weird. We don't have to be, you know, just bouncing from thing to thing. I don't really see that in the scripture either. But we do need to be willing to give up our control at some level if we're going to walk by faith. I mean, there's just no question about it. And that can be a very hard thing for us and something that we have to learn to do. Okay? So, you know, that these people that we see in the scripture, and we're going to look at a lot of examples of this, but not today mostly, they allowed their faith to take them out of a place of safety and security, or maybe just out of a place of complacency. Okay? Faith is not complacent. It just isn't. It is extremely active. The faith, you know, Jesus said, have the faith of God. And really the scripture there is saying, be having the faith of God. Well, that's because faith actually comes from God. It's not something he's waiting for you to work up in your emotions. It's not the way it works. And again, we'll look into that. We've looked into it before. We'll look into it again. But these people were, they had to come out of a place that was secure, comfortable, and they had to take another step. Again, they had to take a risk. And that's one of the things about faith, is that when we're moving in faith, to us, it feels like a risk a lot of times. And in some sense, it is. If God doesn't come through, this thing isn't going to happen. Okay? But that's what faith is believing at a heart level, not just working up the emotion, but at a heart level, believing that God is going to do what he said he would do. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So it's always been kind of strange to me that in some Christian circles over our time, in the church and in the ministry, in some Christian circles, this idea of a faith that motivates people to step out into things that they can't see yet, that they, you know, they can't see how this is going to work out, or to believe God for his power to flow in different situations, to believe God for the miraculous, to believe God that he still is the same person that he was, that Jesus was, and that God showed himself to be in the book of Acts, and to believe that that's how God still is. In some Christian circles, that's really controversial. And I just feel like you can't really read the Bible without seeing how central faith is and the characteristics of faith, of biblical faith. You know, because of course, like every other English word, we use it in different ways. But we grew up in a season back in the, I guess really the early 80s, it began before that, but as we came into the church, as I came into the church, was 1981. But anyway, there was just a move going on of, you know, the Holy Spirit seems to do this as we, the church, forget a certain aspect of the scripture and our salvation and who we're supposed to be. Then he steps in and emphasizes that area. And we've seen moves where he was emphasizing faith, where he was emphasizing the word of God, where he was emphasizing worship, where he was emphasizing prayer. And he just has to keep coming back and retraining us, you know. And of course, there are always new people coming in. But when this is happening, you'll notice that everywhere you turn, people are teaching on the same things or experiencing the same things. And that's true of your personal life too. And I love this. When the Lord's trying to get something through to me, I'll get it, you know, in my own devotional time. I'll feel this emphasis from the scripture on a certain subject. And then I'll just pull up a random podcast from one of the people that I listen to, and they'll be teaching on that. You know, or the Lord will lead me to teach, you know, a subject here, and pretty quick, I'll pull up some podcast and they're teaching on that over here. They're teaching on that over here. And I expect most of those people, you know, big name people, they're just copying what I've been teaching. But still, I choose to think it's the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so you'll notice this, but so we grew up during a time where one of the things that the Spirit of God was really emphasizing was faith. And we had a lot of really good teaching about faith. And no doubt, and this happens with every one of these moves, it starts out real pure and real good, and then some people misuse it or take it some direction it isn't intended, and or misunderstand the message and make a mess. And then part of the church attacks those people and throws out the whole message. And I just want to say that to you this morning. Even when there is doctrine that isn't, I'm not talking about doctrine, this is totally off the word, but when there's something that comes up that isn't quite right, or it gets, or somebody misuses it, we don't correct bad doctrine by throwing out the truth. We correct it by re-emphasizing the truth. And it's a bad habit that that the church overall has, is, and I heard this yesterday, and I thought it was a great statement, that when the power of God has been lacking in a lot of the church for a long time, and then it starts to be seen in certain areas of the church, certain movements, other parts will attack that and say, well, that's the devil, because they haven't seen any power for so long. We do the same thing with various parts of the Word of God. If we haven't been exposed to it for a long time and all of a sudden somebody really begins to get hold of it, then, and so part of the reason I'm telling you this is so don't get thrown. There are certain groups out there that it just seems that they think that's their ministry, is attacking other parts of the body where God's really moving and doing something. I just, you know, I know a pastor down in El Paso that calls those voices, he says, they're just barking dogs, you know, just ignore them. They're just barking dogs in the neighborhood. And so I'm just saying this to you, that we want to plunge into the Word and see what the Word says. And if this is what it says, then we want to take hold of it. And if there's somebody out there that's misusing it or whatever, I'm not going to throw out the truth because of those kinds of things. I mean, we need to dig deeper into the truth. Does that make sense for you? Okay, so again, it's impossible to read the Bible and not see that faith is central, it's foundational, it's a central component of a life that is devoted to God. Okay? Nobody disagrees with that statement. I don't think in any segment of the body of Christ anybody disagrees with that statement. Where the disagreements come are on the definition of what faith is and the role of faith in our lives and how we are to move in it. And just for example, you know, is faith passive? Is it just, I have faith, I'm going to go to heaven someday, you know, just passive? Or can faith actually be, I don't know if I like the term aggressive, but certainly active, certainly moving, you know, and there's disagreement about that. Is faith something that God requires us to work up, or is it something God gives us? And we're going to see that it's something God gives us. It's necessary. Faith, one of the things faith is, it is the avenue through which we connect with the grace of God. It's in Romans 5:2. We stand in grace, in an outpouring of grace. The age in which we live is unique. The time in which we live, this church age, is a unique time in all of history. And it is a time where the grace of God is being so emphasized, not by us, but by God himself. giving us this opportunity to connect with him. And the way that we do that is by faith. Faith plugs in. Grace is the flow of everything that comes from God. It all comes by grace. And it is by faith that we receive what God is pouring out. We are saved by grace through faith. Okay? So it's one of the things faith is. So is faith something that God is requiring of us and he's standing back waiting for us to work it up emotionally? That's how a lot of us approach it. Or is it something he gives to us? And we're going to see as we go through this, it's something he gives to us. So hopefully during this time, we're going to define clearly some things about what faith is and hopefully build all of our faith as we come back and talk to it. Because I know this is a very familiar subject to many of you, but that's kind of what we do here is teach on important foundational things. So y'all good with that? Okay, so you can go over to, you're already in Romans, hopefully, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Today, I really just want to, I don't know how to work my iPad. I really just want to go through about three verses and give you a couple other things and then come back. I think I'm going to probably develop some of this a little bit more at Campfire Church tonight, too. But Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I just want us to look at these verses today. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, so that's the good news of Christ, right? It's the word of God, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Or some of your translations say from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now there's a tremendous amount in that, but again, the power of salvation, we talked about this earlier, the salvation is much more than just going to heaven. Our salvation, that word, the Greek word, the concept of it in the Old Testament, it is a very all-encompassing word that has to do with deliverance from everything that sin and death brought into this world, deliverance from that, and moving into freedom from those things. And so it covers sin, sickness, poverty, hopelessness, failure, just all of these different things are a part of our salvation. It's very all-encompassing. And this scripture tells us that Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the word of God, is the power of God. It carries the power of God for salvation. Who does God want to be saved? Everybody. No question about it. He says it specifically. He would not have anyone perish, but everyone come to a saving faith. So salvation is for everyone, not just a few. It is for everyone. The gospel carries the power to bring people into salvation, right? For everyone who believes. So there it is, everyone who believes. That is the one thing that we bring into this covenant is faith. Jesus carries all the rest of it. Jesus purchased all the rest of it. Jesus made all the rest of it available to us. The only thing we can do is believe. It's the only thing we can do. But I mean, there it is. This is incredibly foundational, and it goes on and says that in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. So we know this, but I'm going to give it to you again. Righteousness is not being perfect. The word righteous in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, it doesn't mean perfect behavior. It means right relationship with God. It is a position that we have not because of our works, not because of what we have done, only because of what Jesus has done and made available to us, and then us receiving that by faith. Righteousness is a position of acceptance and a position of favor before God. And every one of you that have made Jesus the Lord of your life have that position of righteousness before God. And if we acted like it more, you know, it would be, we'd have a lot easier time coming to the Lord, a lot easier time in our prayer time, a lot easier time entering into worship if we weren't letting the devil bring condemnation and shame and all of that. Because it doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we have right relationship with God. It's only because of that right relationship with God that we can be transformed, that we can grow from one degree of glory to another, that we can move into more holiness, which does have to do with our behavior. It's only because we have this right relationship. If we had to be perfect before we could ever come to God, we would never be able to come to God. Okay? So it says that the gospel reveals this righteousness, this right standing, this right relationship with God, that's revealed by the word of God, but it is a right relationship, a right standing, a place of acceptance that is by faith. We enter into it by trust. Trusting. Because I don't feel righteous a lot of the time. Okay, if you feel righteous all the time, I shouldn't say that. If you feel holy all the time, you might need to rethink that. But what we do, we want to get our minds renewed to this so that we do feel, not the best term, we are confident that we always stand in that position before God because of Jesus. I can't be good enough to always stand accepted before God. I can't be good enough, and neither can you, to always have God's favor. So he took it out of that realm, and he said, no, my son will create, through his sacrifice, through carrying your sin, my son will create this position. But how do we receive that position? By faith. We trust. We trust that what God says about us is true of us. And if we stay in that place of trust and we stay in the Word of God that reveals that position to us, and I think this is one of the most foundational things we can do to meditate on, to go to those scriptures about that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that he who knew no sin became sin for you, so that you could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And all of those types of verses, we've got to get our minds renewed to that so that we know we can always come before his throne in a time of need, so that we know that we don't have to earn our way back to him when we sin, that we can turn and repent right away. Does this make sense to you? I mean, there's a lot of places we could go with this. But this position of acceptance, it comes by faith, not by good works. And I'm going to be standing on that a lot, I think, during this, just because so many people, the common theme in the world is they think you, if they believe in heaven, if they believe in an afterlife, they think you get there by works, by doing good things. They base their feeling about themselves on how many good things they have done. Their identity is caught up in doing good things. But what the Bible tells us, I can't spend a lot of time on this morning, but what the Bible, you know, James told us that good works need to be, and I'm just going to paraphrase all this, the fruit of faith working in our life. That good works out there, they are evidence of a living faith on the inside. Just good works apart from faith, when we're just doing good things to try to be acceptable to God, or maybe just to be acceptable to other people, which seems like a rat race way to live, but just doing good things apart from those being birthed through faith, through your relationship with God, through the Holy Spirit working in you, without that life inside of them, the Bible calls those dead works. And in fact, in the Old Testament, it said our good works, apart from faith, apart from salvation, just going out there and doing good things, the Old Testament tells us those are like filthy rags before God. Those types of works are not pleasing to God. And that is contrary to what about 90% of the population thinks, including a big chunk of the church. They're still, they know I'm going to heaven because I trusted Jesus for my salvation, but now I've got to go out and do good things. I've got to do things. I've got to go do good things. I've got to go to church enough. I've got to open my Bible enough. I've got to take care of people enough. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And they're living by a system of works that has nothing to do with being pleasing to God. It is not those type. Is this making sense? Okay, because are we supposed to be doing good things? Yeah, we are. We're supposed to be distributing the grace of God, but it's got to come from that relationship with God. It's got to come from a place of faith in God. Then it's got a life on the inside of it. Then the things we do, maybe we help out a poor person or we pray for the sick or we do whatever it is. When it's coming from that place of faith, the life of God is carried in that work. And that work, you know, we'll just use feeding a poor person, you know, for an example. You help somebody out financially. Well, okay, it takes care of that. It is a blessing in that way. But it'll impact their hearts in a different way because the faith that you receive from God and that you are releasing as you do this in Jesus' name will carry, that work will actually carry that life of God. It'll have an impact. It'll bring a revelation of who God is. It'll melt a heart. It will open somebody up to the gospel. So we want to be involved in living works. We're not doing works in order to be accepted by God. Did you get it? Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm not going to go there. We'll go there another week. We'll just look at these two more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Little verse with a lot of meaning. And what I gave you there is from the Amplified, and I think it's actually the new version of the Amplified Bible. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Okay? Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Okay? We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, it's a little tiny verse, but what it's saying is this is the way we live. This is the way believers are to live, that we walk. That term walk there means we move by, or the course of our life is directed by, our choices are directed by, the things that we do is directed by, our course in life is set by faith and not by sight, which means what we can see in the natural, what we can sense in the natural, what our senses might tell us. There are a lot of times when God breathes something, a direction, an instruction into your life, that comes as something that you can't see how it's going to happen yet. You can't, it's not a direction that comes because I can analyze life around me. I can analyze the way this is supposed to work. I can approach this intellectually. Instead, it's an instruction that launches you over that risk barrier. It launches you into something that you can't see yet. Our lives are not supposed to be just directed by what we can figure out as Christians. And honestly, we can live that way. God will still love you. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ. We can live that way, but you're going to miss so much. You're going to miss a lot of adventure with God if you don't let faith take the wheel and steer you some directions you didn't know you were going to go. You know, and so sometimes God's instruction or God's direction or the next thing he leads you to do, it does line up with what you knew was coming, or lines up with what your senses and your intellect say. But a lot of times it doesn't. Doesn't mean it's the craziest thing you've ever heard. We have extremes on both ends of this. We have people who just believe I'm going to heaven and that's all there is. We have other people that are just out there doing crazy things and saying God told them to do it. Let's not be either one of those, okay? Let's learn how to press into him, hear his voice, let his word build faith in our hearts, but then let's move. Let's let that faith move us, okay? And we can think of lots of examples of this, being living by faith, not by sight. The Bible tells us when we have a lack in our life, one of the ways we respond to that is we give from that place of lack in our lives. And what we give is then multiplied back to us. Well, that doesn't make any sense to our senses. We think in just using finances, because it's a simple one, we can all see it. We think, well, if I have a lack, I need to hoard. I need to hold what I have. And yet the scripture says, no, you need to, if you got a financial lack, you need to sow. And we apply this in our lives. When we start seeing a bunch of things breaking down or, you know, this or that, too much going out, you know, that shouldn't be. Just this and then this and then this and then this. It's like, okay, let's look. God, where do you need us to give? And we will just give. And it doesn't always make sense. But we know the principle and we believe the principle and we are going to apply the principle, okay? If you're lacking friends, the Bible says, show yourself friendly. Well, I don't feel like showing myself friendly when I maybe have felt rejected or I maybe have felt alone or maybe it's not easy to then show myself friendly. But I've got to, faith steps into the situation. And it plants some kind of seed. And the Lord needs to lead you in whatever that is. Forgive the unforgivable person or forgive a person when they haven't asked for your forgiveness. And they maybe haven't even repented of what they did. But nevertheless, I'm not going to live in offense. I'm not going to be trapped by that unforgiveness. So Jesus sets us up that you need to be assertive. You need to choose to forgive and start working through it so that you are free and so that thing can be unlocked, okay? Sometimes, I mean, the Lord has told us to pick up and move. You know, even in starting this church, there we didn't know anybody. We didn't know anybody. We just did what God said to do. Sometimes he will move you someplace. Sometimes he'll keep you someplace that you'd rather, your senses are saying, I need to go live in Phoenix, you know. But God's saying, stay in Gunnison, or whatever, okay. Not just trying to keep you all here, although that's what I would do if it was just up to me, okay. But, you know, we know people right now that are taking a stand against an absolutely incurable disease. And they're seeing great results. But it's a battle every day to keep their heart and keep their mind where it needs to be and feeding on the scriptures, feeding on what they need. Because God said, no, do it this way. We have a good friend, Troy Carl, who is the president of International Scripture Ministries. He was in his yard several years ago in the evening and he was kind of frustrated with what they were doing at that time to see the gospel go forward. They were doing some great things. But he knew God had more. And he was out in his backyard in Albuquerque. And he said, God, what do you want me to do? It's kind of like the story with Sean Dunn. And the Lord just said to him, he was out there looking at the stars. He said, take it up there. And that was the word that started International Scripture Ministries, who are believing God for a whole array of satellites. They're working with all the unimaginable to me technology to bring the word of God to every distracting cell phone in the world and to every device everywhere in everybody's language. I mean, it's a huge vision. God just said, take it up there. He didn't know how to take it up there. He didn't know fully what that meant, but they are taking it up there. They've got people, they've got retired generals from, you know, NORAD and stuff like that on their staff that know how to do this stuff. And they're doing incredible things. And that just came from a word from God that said, take it up there. God can breathe things into our life that we never expect. Are you getting anything out of this? All right, so let's look at this, and I got to quit. Hebrews 11:6, okay, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe, number one, God exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. I love that, because pleasing God, years ago, the Lord just showed that to me out of various verses that Paul wrote, live a life that's pleasing to God. And I think that's a much greater goal. We want to, let me say it this way, we need to live a life that pleases God, not try to live a life that appeases God. Right? We want to live in such a way that we're trying to appease him. We're trying to get rid of his wrath. He's mad at us. We're living with that mentality. Jesus already did that part. Okay? We want to live a life that's pleasing to him. You know? That's pleasing to him. We want to put a smile on his face. We pray that all the time over church. We pray that everything that happens in here will just put a smile on your face. If we can put a smile on your face today, then we did church. You know, because he loves meeting with his people. So that word, you know, pleasing God, it means live in a way that gives God pleasure. No kidding. Live in agreement with God's word, nature, purposes, ways of doing things. And it means living in a way that honors God. I love that. In fact, in the Greek language, the opposite of this, the antonyms to this word of pleasing God, one of them means to be disobedient. Faith moves us into obedience, and that pleases God. But it's not obedience to try and get God's favor. It's faith. It's trust in him. That's birthed because of our relationship with him. It moves us into obedience. It empowers our obedience. Okay. Another one, the opposite of pleasing him, is to dishonor. Faith honors God. Faith always leads us into attitudes and into actions that give him honor. It's just part of what faith does. Another antonym to this word is to neglect to hear and therefore disobey. So again, faith moves us to be really attentive to what God's saying. And as we're attentive to what God's saying, he does something in us and we move into obedience. So the scripture is telling us here, you can't please God except by faith. So again, I'm not going to harp on this because I don't have time today, but we come back to the idea of trying to please God by works. Trying to please God by just doing enough good things. Trying to please God by being a better person. You've got that backwards, and it's gonna be a burden in your life. We turn it around. No, we please God by faith, and faith comes by hearing what he's saying. And so through the relationship, through knowing him, the more you know him, the more you're going to trust him. There's just no way about it. No other way about it. If you know any person in your life that's really honest and faithful and forthright and all of that, just a Dudley do-right person, the more you know that person, the more confidence you'll have in them. You just know they're going to do what they said they're going to do. I don't have to track them down all the time. I just know if they said they're going to do it, they're going to do it. Same thing happens with God. The more we interact with him, the more we know him, it's not difficult to please God, but we do need to understand it happens through faith, okay? So I'll say one last thing about this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? And that the person who trusts him or pleases him, they've got to believe that God exists first. And then they've got to understand something about his nature. He's a rewarder. Long before, his desire is to reward. Okay? That's who he is. I'm just going to leave it at that. We can develop that a little more another time. But even that idea, and I just want to throw this to you, we've got to believe that God exists. Well, the God that they're talking about in the book of Hebrews is the God of the Bible. They're not just saying you can please God by believing that some God exists. You know, people talk about, oh, the universe did this or that. No, the universe didn't do it. The universe is a beautiful creation, but it's not alive, okay? Or they believe in karma, or they believe in this, or they believe in that. They believe, you know, they have faith in some other God. This verse is saying it's impossible to please this God, the one they know, God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who's manifested and brought his son to this earth, that God. We've got to believe that that God exists and then know his nature, learn his nature, who he is. He's a rewarder, not of the person who does the most good works, but of those who diligently seek him. That's what he's looking for. Good works will happen. But what pleases God? People, I'm pleased with people who just want to know me. That's what it's saying. Does that make sense to you? Okay, that's pleasing to God, to have that passion, that desire in our heart to know him. Now, I'm just going to throw this up there. We've only got like a minute and a half left, as if I'm watching the clock ever. These are just some things that faith is not. And I think we're going to look at some of this tonight, probably up there at Campfire Church. But I just want to throw this out to you because, again, there's just a lot of confusion about what faith is and what faith isn't. And I want to give you the what faith is more. But the Lord just put this on my heart, and so I wrote it down. I'm just going to read through them today. We're not going to be able to teach. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've had slides all the way along. Is that thing set on the right? I'm sorry. I wish you'd said something sooner. Yeah, because I told you I maybe wasn't going to have them. No, this is so you can take a picture of it. I'm sorry. Well, let's start over. Okay. Isn't that nice? Want to see? See, I had this one, and I had this one, and I had this one. Just so you know, I was doing my job. No, I didn't know, and I told Karen, I don't know if I'm going to have slides this week. Okay, these are just things faith isn't, and we're just going to read through them. So faith isn't blind. People always talk about, oh, you just have blind faith. Man, if there's anything faith isn't, it isn't blind. It just perceives things that we can't see with our eyes, okay? It isn't passive. We'll see through the book of Hebrews, it motivates people, it moves people constantly. People that have faith move. It's not passive. Faith isn't private. Some people, well, my faith is very private. Faith is not private. It is personal, but it's not private. If you're moving in faith, you're going to impact people, and you're going to do it in a lot of different ways, but it's going to come out your mouth, what God is doing and what you're trusting him to do. It isn't stationary. It isn't static. It is dynamic and in continual motion toward God. Jesus always talked about have faith toward God. It's going somewhere and it's going toward God. Okay? Faith isn't everything. Some people think faith is everything. Okay? It's not everything, but it is very, very important and central. Faith isn't always reasonable. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's like, oh, Lord, I know this is you saying it. I'm going to trust this is you saying it, but whoa, you got to help me with this because that seems a little scary to do. Faith isn't weak. Jesus said faith can move mountains. People, and why do I say that? Because people will tell you, if you're a person of faith, oh, you're just weak. You're just weak. You got to lean on God. Yeah, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to lean on God. So, but it isn't weak. Faith isn't mental assent or intellectual agreement, and it's so easy to confuse those. We just agree with what God's saying. That's not, there's faith comes from down in here. Faith does not have a natural origin. It actually comes from God. It comes from his word. As we hear him speak, faith is birthed in us. And so we need to be continually hearing him speak. All right, did you get anything out of this today? We're just going to leave it right there. Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we come to you this morning, I pray that this word resides on the inside of us, that you mark us with it, and that we be marked as a people of faith. And Lord, for every one of us, this is an ongoing thing, learning to trust you when it goes beyond our comfort zone. And so you're the only one that knows every heart in this place. You're the only one that knows where all of us are. But Lord, I just pray this morning that wherever we are in our faith toward you, that through this time we come another step, or another 2 steps, or another 10 steps forward, Father, in being people who live by faith and not by sight. For people who walk with you and please you because of the trust that's within our hearts for you. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to bring out of this aspect of our lives, and for the fruit that'll be born because of us growing in trust with you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, we are going to be dismissed on the count of 3. We are all going to say, Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. And then if you need prayer for anything, please come up after, and our prayer team will be up here to pray for you. Okay, and we do it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen. Go out there and be the church, people.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.